You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are back, and we are back with my good friend, DJ Van Curen. I hope he won't counteract me, but I know I am. Hey, DJ, how you doing?
Good, Jim. How are you doing?
All right, now, DJ is a senior officer for the Hayman Family Office over in Los Angeles. He's a author of all these great books. He publishes a great real estate magazine for the family office sector. Welcome back to the show, DJ Van Curen.
Thanks, Jim, for having me.
Now,
pleasure as always.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Listen, I was out with a banker this morning. We were talking about the future of real estate finance, and out of nowhere, the guy goes, you know, I went to this conference about blockchain. It's coming in. That's the way to go. I go, yeah, but I don't understand it without a chart. Can you help me understand it without a chart, DJ?
Yeah, so, and this is something that is, you know, I took this on to present at a couple conferences because I really wanted to learn more about it. And when I did, it's something that's coming quicker than people imagine, and something that's going to have a dramatic impact on the real estate industry. And what's interesting, it's not only here in the U.S., but globally. And actually, a lot of countries are far ahead of us. So what happens is that it's taking advantage of technology in order to streamline systems, processes, and controls, to be honest. That's really ultimately what it comes down to. And it's like having a ledger, which is online, to collect all of this data.
So basically, from what I understand, is that there's like unique markers that go along with the transaction. And now in today's world, there's a piece of paper. The piece of paper, maybe it's now a scanned piece of paper, but there's a piece of paper. It's in a file. The file's there. You go do, and you finally get there. But somebody still has to do due diligence, and somebody can file a bad piece of paper. This thing, it's like a computer code, and it gets all locked together. Now you know my exact total knowledge of blockchain. Help me out, DJ.
Well, let's first talk about, you know, some of the impact that it's actually going to have in the real estate industry, and I think it's going to answer some of these questions. So back in 2017, there was about $1 trillion of dry powder, so money that was available to invest in real estate. Well, in order to facilitate that amount of money for transactions, there'd be about 10% of that would go toward costs. There'd be 500 pages per transaction, which would come to about 5 trillion pages. The other thing is that you were dealing with incompatible systems. So your information might be different than the title company, which is different than the law firm, right, which is different than the mortgage company.
And they're all in different formats.
You have all these different formats. You have all these separate ledgers. It's very labor-intensive, and you've got countless intermediaries and third parties involved, right? And you've also got that lack of knowledge of the transaction status. I mean, how many times have you been in the middle of a transaction, right, whether it's a property or a mortgage, and you're like, okay, what's going on with this?
Yeah, where's my check? How come the check didn't clear? Did they send the wire? Where's the wire? What's the status of the wire? Where is it in the system? That's the most important question.
That's right. And so it's highly inefficient, and even though it's repetitive, something that's being done every single day, right? It's just very, very inefficient because you have all these various parties.
And it's starting from fresh. Everything starts fresh.
It does, every single time. And I mean, when you look at the mortgage industry, you know, you're supposed to keep records for 8 years. So that's about 40 trillion pages. So now you're going to get rid of all of those pages. You're going to be getting rid of a lot of the people that are part of that process. And that's one of the biggest areas, too, I don't think people realize, is that, you know, there's trillions of dollars made with title insurance companies. Well, if you can get rid of them, you can also get rid of some of the attorneys. You can get rid of the analysts in some cases. And there's going to be a variety of different industries that are going to be significantly impacted because you don't need them anymore.
Well, talk about why the title insurance person is going to go away. I think I know the answer, but I'm not going to step on your thunder here. Go for it.
Well, the one of the biggest reasons is because it costs a lot of money, right, and time to make sure you've got clean title. So if you're going to buy a property, you're going to make sure that you're going to get it without any problems.
Yeah, but
right?
That's because of the document review. The document review has to be started from, like, well, Columbus came over on the whatever it was, Nina the Pinta and the Santa Maria, and then they did the that was in Florida, so it was part of the Louisiana Purchase. And then, I mean, it goes from there, and it really does. That's what's ridiculous. And they start from zero every single time.
Yeah, so what ends up happening is that you're going to end up having a digital identity, right, that would end up streamlining the whole process and that information. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, if you make a change to something, somebody else can't make a change differently, right? So you're going to reduce fraud as well.
Well,
going to be information that you can't go back on and make a change to it. And so when you go to it, it's going to be stored and readily available.
Yeah, but let's stop, because you jumped over something that's really important. And what you jumped over is that it's locked in there forever. They don't have to go back to the beginning. They just go back to the last person because it's already uniquely defined forever. Or am I wrong?
No, you're correct. You're correct. And you're not going to be able to necessarily go back and make changes. And so, you know, now a big part of fraud, especially from a mortgage side, is you've got mortgage fraud, right? People making changes to the recording and people making changes to the information that's related to that transaction.
Or if they have a title, they lie and they say they have title or they don't, I can push a button and I can see the whole thing on my computer if I got the right code now. Is that true?
Well, actually, it's not going to be that you can press a button and see it. It's that it's automatically going to happen as part of that process.
Wow. So there's a whole new software, but there's going to be a whole new closing system.
Well, that's the whole thing. When you go through from A to Z, and that's not even talking about smart contracts, which also is going to speed up the process and streamline everything significantly. Because when you go through, let's say on a lease, you're going to have what's called smart identities, which is automatically going to do background checks and checks for liens and everything else. And then you're going to end up having this contract, which will automatically be put together. And then it will also track like payments and cash flow management, et cetera, which is going to give you real-time data. So everything is going to be just, you know, done all together at once. And you know, the same thing with the title registry. Now, we do have things that we have to deal with in the U.S. where you've got different municipalities, right? And you've got all these different government entities that a lot of it are still paper. Some of it are, trying to put it online, et cetera. And ultimately, if we're going to have a truly streamlined system, everybody's going to have to get on board. And that's probably what's going to be the toughest thing to happen. Now, Vermont has been the first state that actually embraced this. And they did a transaction using blockchain and cryptocurrency. That's the first state. And Illinois is also looking at it. But if you were to look around the world, I would guess we're probably about 10 years behind in our commitment to using blockchain, you know, for these purposes in real estate.
Why do they call it blockchain?
Because you're going from a block to block, one that can't be changed again, right?
So it's really a block of information that's created in a locked-in chain that can't be changed. It's locked in, and that's what reduces all the fraud.
Yeah. So it's they're recorded chronologically and publicly, right? So it's a step by step of what's happening. So yes.
Okay. Well, listen.
And each of them has each block contains a certain cryptographic set of information, which has a timestamp, right, and transaction data. So every time something, it's building upon itself as you go forward.
Listen, we got to take a break. Do you want to stick with us and give us a little more on this on the other side?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Awesome. Okay, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to go do some ads, and then we'll be back. I want to remind everybody, early voting today ended at 6:30 in Florida, but it'll start again tomorrow morning. Get out and vote early. Research your candidates. Look into Nikki Fried, my niece. Look into Nikki Fried. I think if you do, you'll be happy. So we'll be back. Wanda, take it away. Play some more of that good music that's going to be coming out this weekend. I know what you're doing. I know who you're playing.